I gotta get my fit right. School is about to start. I need to summon Millennials Anonymous DTLR Villa Fairy now.
You ring? Yes, I was having a party with the other fairies and you kind of interrupted me. What is it?
It's back to school. It is that time of the year. Every time of the year, you know what it is. I need clothes now. Look at me.
Yeah, you right. You called me too late, but we gonna make it work now.
All right, we gotta do this. Like, what? How am I gonna do it? I don't have a ton.
Let the Millennials Anonymous DTLR Villa Fairy help you out. Yes, DTLR Villa Kids Back to School Apparel is up to 50% off. So you wanna go and shop now. And you know, back to school is right around the corner, so we gotta get all the latest trends, and they have them, okay? Like, when I tell you they got Kappa, they have Nike, we can get you looking
yes,
right.
I gotta get my super extra large 5X tee and my low-rise ash wash denim
what?
Jean.
What? No. I mean, what is this, 2000? No. Like, we need to go. We need to go now.
Don't do me like that. Everything comes back to style.
Some things don't. But we gotta go. Like, it's an emergency.
Oh, yeah, you're right. School is right around the corner.
No, Millennials Anonymous is on. So, we gotta go.
Millennial what?
My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial.
I did not.
Because with Pharrell, we made it out some shit. Pharrell. Yeah, you know we run the world, right?
Saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas.
Just want y'all to know that.
That don't even sound right. That don't even sound like me. Mm-mm.
You are fake news.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the individual guest's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Millennials Anonymous or MAPS Media. The material and information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and not meant to malign any person, place, thing, or group. MAPS Media's name and all forms and abbreviation are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition of any specific organization, product, or service. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Yes, it is your girl, Lise Winnie, and I am a fucking millennial. Yes, I am. And I just want you guys to know, I almost didn't make it. Never would have made it. I almost choked to death over from my own saliva. Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing, but apparently that is something that you can do. Which is funny because I'm not juicy mouthed typically, but when I do podcasts, and I don't know, maybe because this is something that I like to do, I start salivating at the mouth, like, you know, BK Skinner's experiment or something. Like, I don't know what is going on with me. But anyway, we want to start off this podcast, okay? You know, because we are the indebted servants of the United States Board of Education. Yes, we are. And we want to give a big shout out to Father Joe, okay? Father Joe and Kamala Harris's Chuck Taylor's and Pearls and to Fuck Sally. Okay, we want to do all of that. I want to buy a Hyundai. Subaru, things, old Mercedes, all of that, okay? Because he forgave $10,000 of student loan debt.
Yeah, no. I mean, he did. That's a good thing for the people that went to college with the $10,000.
This is a campaign promise. He's been talking about this shit for a minute now, and it is what it is. And so I'm going to talk to my wonderful reoccurring guest host, co-host D, who is here, and I know that he's actually sick of hearing about me talk about student loans. Now,
yeah,
as millennials, this is kind of our thing. Like, if this is a millennial show, basically the only thing I really need to talk about the entire time is student loan debt. Like, that is our thing. Student loan debt is millennials' thing. That and avocados. That and entitlement. Those go with us like peanut butter and jelly, okay? like Kool-Aid, sugar water. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things go together, and it go together. And that's why I keep talking about it. Because, one, this is historic, okay? This is not something that has happened before. This is motherfucking historic. We have not had a president that has forgiven so much. Now, as a person like me, I know a lot of other people who are very responsible with student loans. I grew up in a different lifestyle. Didn't really have a lot of guidance in what I should and shouldn't be doing. I think everybody in my life was financially irresponsible. So I grew up in a family full of financially irresponsible people. Therefore, I became financially irresponsible because I never knew a motherfucker that wasn't financially irresponsible with their money. I never knew a motherfucker that didn't have debt or a motherfucker that was living paycheck to paycheck. I never knew that when I was growing up. I thought as soon as you got your money, you spent it. Like, that's what I thought. I don't know if I knew anybody, like, my, you know, grandparents paid their bills and stuff, but I don't think they were able to, like, save a boatload of money, especially, like, a lot of these Caucasian white families. Like, I just didn't see that. Like, I came from a line of people, besides my mother, who were avid bill payers, but I didn't know anything about being really responsible. I'd always seen people take out mortgages and car payments that were more than they really could afford. And so when I went into college, I didn't have nobody to say, hey, baby, don't do that. Don't take out the maximum amount. I was irresponsibly lending or borrowing, but the colleges and universities and the federal government was also irresponsibly lending money to people. We were irresponsible borrowers and they were irresponsibly lending. Most people who went up for a loan got one. We need to relook at the way that we value education in this country. Absolutely do. If you can't forgive it all, he probably should have not have gone this route, because it's not making sense, because you literally are still giving loans this semester to people who you're saying those loans are problematic. It's not adding up. You're giving out the same loans that you said got the millennial generation, the student loan debt generation, in this situation they in, while still giving out those loans. And those students won't qualify for the student loan forgiveness. It's not making sense. Y'all just like, fuck them kids. Like, it's not making any sense at all. I think the solution should have been, and I've said this for a long time, we do need, because we're not going to see, honestly, I don't think we will see free college in this country. We live in capitalism. College is a business. You seen these colleges? They look like resorts. This is a business. You know how much some of these deans are making? It is a business. They're not gonna stop that revenue flow. It's just not gonna happen. So college, because we've made it needed and a necessary, not a necessary, listen to me. It's like a necessity and an accessory. There you go, it is. It's a necessity and an accessory. It's an accessory. We made it that way. Then the colleges had all the power to be able to keep charging whatever it is that they wanted, and we were going to pay it. So it just kept going up and up and up, and we just kept paying it. We need to have a pathway forward. We do need to start to go towards making at least public colleges and universities free. And then, you know, private universities can do whatever they want, but at least go towards that route. But if we can't, and it doesn't appear that that will happen anytime soon, because you're going to have a lot of Republicans giving legal pushback. They're saying that it's illegal what he did. But at the same time, the same people that are doing that and saying, you shouldn't forgive no loans, are the same people that had $2.3 million of PPP money forgiven. It's not making sense. The common guy can't get their loans forgiven, but you can forgive somebody who probably took out that money and didn't even need it, where them PPP money mostly benefited top big ass companies and it didn't go down to the workers. It's not adding up. It's not mathematical. But I think if we can't do that in this capitalistic society,
at least allow them to file bankruptcies just like those businesses. You can do it, but they make it almost impossible. Like, you gotta really prove, like, oh, you know, I can never pay this off, never ever in my life. I'm gonna be, you know, a loser forever, and here's why I'm a loser. Like, you really have to go and, like, beg and plead and please, baby. Like, you gotta get the cape like James Brown and everything in court. Like, it's a lot. Whereas I think that we need to make it easier. Just like if a business is irresponsible with taking on too much debt, or the things don't work out the way the business plan, either one, they are allowed to walk into a court and file Chapter 7 or Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I feel like students should be able to do the same. Everybody not gonna go run and do that because there's negative ramifications for filing bankruptcy. So the only people that are going to do that, and you could do that back in the 80s and 90s until Republicans made it more difficult to file bankruptcy because they were afraid that too many people would do that because they knew the cost of college was going up. But most people won't. We have bankruptcy now, and it's a lot of people in credit card debt, and most people do not file bankruptcy. The only people that file it are people that absolutely need it. Like, they're like, okay, I can't pay this no more. Give students that option to file bankruptcy with the same amount of ease that you would give to a business or anybody who took out a credit card loan that could not pay it. You should let them file in the same manner. That would have solved the problem because then that applies to whomever. So the children that are going to college now would be able to do that, and the people that went to college 25 years ago can do that. It still would benefit and impact each person, and each person would have the option to be able to do that. Because I don't understand why not do that. And then I think we do need to look at college in this country. Like, what is college meant to do? Because we got a lot of degrees out there that we just need to be looking like, is esports is now a degree? And I was like, you know, why? Like, a lot of these jobs, you don't need them to have degrees. Like, it's not necessary because they ask you for experience anyway. You need experience for the experience, and the only way to get the experience is to have experience. So if that is the case, it means that college is missing something. The first 2 years is the history of whatever the fuck you doing. You should need 3 arts and 2 gyms and one, like, stop it. Girl, why? It's not mathematical. I'm telling you, it's not. It is a way to get money out of people. And look at the people that are mostly impacted. It's black people and brown people. Poor black and brown people that saw this as the great equalizer are the ones that got fucked. Come on now. Come on now. Like, we need to do something about this. They wouldn't give them a loan to start a business. They wouldn't give them a loan to start a house, but they would give them a student loan payment. Why? Because they couldn't get rid of it. And they knew they had you on the line forever. Forever. We have to fix it. We've got to fix it. Where college is, trust me, I don't want to go to an anesthesiologist and learn that shit on YouTube. I don't know, no, or heard it through word of mouth. Y'all medicine, science folks, y'all need to congregate together in a controlled environment to learn about the body, okay? We need y'all together. Teachers, okay? Y'all need to get together and, you know, go congregate together so you can teach these kids and people, okay? We need y'all. But human resources? No 7-year-old woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I'm going to be a human resource manager. That has happened never. And so because that's never happened, and most people who are in human resources have a degree in something else, that means this don't need to exist. Stop offering people stuff that you know is useless. It's useless. most of the stuff that you can learn, especially in business related degrees and those liberal arts degrees, you can learn it another way. The best way to learn business is to be in business. I don't know how any other way to put it, but the best way to learn business is to be in business. I don't know what to tell you. So, and a lot of stuff that you learn in college, like you have all this, you don't even retain half of it. So I was like, come on, we've got to do something. And I'm not saying that I don't think college needs to exist. I still very much think education is extremely important. I think we just need to go about this differently. Either make that shit free, or we need to figure out a way to make college more affordable and beneficial to the student. Because right now it's not beneficial to anybody. Because we could really cut down, and a bachelor's degree could really be 2 years. And an associate's degree, tack that shit on to high school. Like, I mean, make it to 13th grade. Like, we need to figure out a way to make this make sense. And in certain degrees, we need to mash them together. You should not be able to get, like, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. That should not exist. It should be a combination of a bachelor, master's, or it should just be a full program of a master's degree, because you can't do shit with a bachelor's in psychology. You can do the same shit with a bachelor's in psychology that you can do with not a bachelor's in psychology. The same jobs. I'm telling you, we've got to fix it. Because it's broke. It's broke. And I know I'm on a tangent, but it's fucking broke. I still very much want my children to go to college, but I want them to be more practical than I was when I was going. And if you are going to college, apply for every fucking scholarship there is. Even if they tell you no, you apply anyway. Because you never know. Apply for every grant, scholarship, or funding opportunity known to man. And if you don't play a sport, goddammit. You need to do like the rich folks. Get up in there. I'm trying to get up in there. Figure it out. Like, if y'all are not going to help us, we're going to have to find a way to game the system. That is the only way that this will ever level itself out. Because it don't appear like it's going to change. It's just not. And I know that the Democrats are going to ride this into the sunset, because a lot of people will only see this as being, you know, beneficial. But again, you have to apply for it as well. I think that we just need to figure out a way to make this make sense. They're giving back money to people who didn't have any money, went to school, and still don't have any fucking money. So that's basically what that had meant.
Well, it's really not helping nobody. You sell it yourself.
So there are some people that get their student loans completely wiped out.
Do you think you're going to see the $10,000 make any difference? Like, you say you went to school, right? Is $10,000 really going to make that much a difference? From you paying off, or
I think a lot of this loan forgiveness program is to help Generation X and some of the boomers. So when you look at Gen X, they had smaller loans, and a lot of them are finished, because most people finish paying off their loans in their 40s, which is crazy because it's supposed to be 10 years is the term. But most people do the income-based repayment plan because you just can't afford to pay an extra $1,200, $1,000 a month or more and still live. Like, you just can't afford that. So most people do the income-based repayment plan. And a lot of them are on the tail end. And what they need them to do, because Social Security is finicky as hell, they need them to be able to pay for retirement and live in retirement. How can they do that if they're still paying this money? And you don't stop paying student loans till that shit is paid off or you die. So I think this is their way of trying to help them to prepare for retirement, because at some point Gen X and the boomers are gonna have to retire. Even though boomers is like, they hanging in there, they don't trust millennials at all. Like, they will not leave the job. Like, they
still there. They're still working. They still in the top spots. And then they wonder why we can't move up. Like, it's crazy. Or why y'all keep leaving? Because y'all won't leave. Like, that's why. Whatever. But I think that's, it will help some people. I think this target audience, I think it's going to silence millennials' mouths about student loans, but I think it really was meant to help the older generations that are still carrying student loans, in my opinion. I also think that we have to look at the cost of student loans. So over the course of, what, like 20 years, student loans have increased 169%, which is more than houses. It is more than cars. It is more than credit cards. It's insane the amount that student loans cause. And it's because student loans in education became a necessity where schools could charge whatever they wanted. They could keep raising the rates. And because a lot of these, you know, millennials and Gen X went to school in, you know, in the 90s, especially Gen X, they went during the dot-com boom. Everybody was getting money, like, get money. Like, it was a different time. And they just kept raising the rates, raising the rates, raising the rates, raising the rates. It wasn't until the 2008 financial crisis, which is when most millennials were coming into college and into the workforce, happened. So then, you know, we were getting out of college. We were graduating right around the time when everything went to utter shiznit. Like, we came out when it was like dump truck. And so now there was a lot of unemployment. People weren't hiring. So then we had this degree and then we couldn't pay it. Not to mention, like, back in, was it 2007 when Bush did the income-based repayment plan? With the income-based repayment plan, it actually put people upside down on the loan. So it was negative amortization that happened because they made their payments smaller, but the interest kept growing. So it didn't, they outpaced the loan, and it made it balloon to the point where the people would never pay this off. And it actually put them upside down. Now, in this plan, they actually do fix that. That's, they cap it at 5%, the payment, and they make sure that the interest doesn't outpace the loan. But in the past, we didn't have that. So now we have all of this interest because some people owe more in interest on the loan than they actually owe on the loan itself. That's a problem. So I think this helps that. Now, I don't know how you rectify it, but this helps.
Same
that.
Thing as a credit card. If you pay in the middle, you're going to pay tons of more in interest. I mean, ain't that tough? That, and that was a loan. Like, all the loans, it's pretty much the same, right? If you say you got $1,000 loan and you only paying $5 a month, it might go out for like 10 years before you pay that loan off. You paying the bare minimum and you probably pay that loan, that $1,000 loan, probably now you probably pay $3,000 over the long term. It's all the same, right?
It is. It's like Rent-A-Center. Like, when you was, if you remember Rent-A-Center, like I remember Rent-A-Center, because my mother was at the Rent-A-Center. It didn't make any sense. Like, you got a smaller payment, but ultimately you ended up paying more. And that's what happens with a lot of people of color anyway. And poor people, they tend to pay more, way more money than rich people. They just do, with credit scores and interest rates. And so, yes, but the benefit with this new plan is that it's going to cap your payment at no more than 5% of your total monthly income without raising the interest. So now you actually get a chance to pay down your loan without it just ballooning to a point where you will never pay it off. So that's another thing that happened. Now, you have to make under $125,000. And $250,000 as a couple. So if you're married, it actually might benefit you if only one of y'all went to school. I'm just saying. But just so that you know, there's some benefits in this plan that will benefit a lot of people. I don't think that this should have been the solution. I've mentioned this on this podcast numerous times. I
think people should stop going to school. Can't charge people as much as they charge them. Because it's a business at the end of the day. If you don't got enough kids in there.
You know, I don't think is that people shouldn't go to school, but I think what should happen is that people, like I said earlier, people should be more particular about what it is that they're going to school for and be more intentional about what they're using college for. What is the purpose of you going to college? Are you going just to say that you went, or are you actually going because you think that you can get further along in your career? And do you know how to get experience in your career? When you graduate from school, will you still need experience that will be very, very hard to get? Those are the types of things that I believe that you should take a look at. So some people, I agree, should not go to school. Yeah, if we don't make it absolutely necessary that you have a degree. I remember when I was in school, they said you're going to need a degree to work at McDonald's. Like, I heard that a lot. That's all they kept telling millennials. It was like, you're going to need a degree to work at McDonald's. You know, you're going to need a degree to work at McDonald's. So we became the student debt generation where it was like, you have to go to school even if I don't want to go to school. And so that's what happened. I don't think that not getting rid of school is going to fix it either, but I think that we should create a nation that values education to the point where education should be free, just like the public colleges should be free, just like public education is fucking free. Period. Point blank. Period. And I think that we do need to look at when people say, well, what if they make college free after I pay for it? That's the same thing that happened with Social Security. There were people that didn't have Social Security before the other ones did. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have did that. I was reading an article that brought that up and it made perfect sense. Same thing with, when they did the American Healthcare Act. She mentioned that in that article as well. It was a US Today article. Does it mean that because we didn't get that healthcare, they shouldn't get healthcare or it shouldn't be paid for? Hell nah. So I think that we do need to make sure that down the road for my kids and for your kids, that we make sure that college education is affordable and or free. If you want to go to a private university and they charge it out the ass, that is a preference that you chose. I'm not saying like Newt Gingrich said back in the day that college should only be for rich people or people who can afford it, because that limits people of what they are able to achieve. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there should be options for those children to be able to go to school without graduating in debt. Because when you put them in debt, just like every other loan, they charge, especially people of color, minorities, black people, they charge black people more in interest rates on credit cards and houses. And they were given the subprime mortgage rates, which helped them lose a lot of their wealth anyway. Like, it's just real fucked up. And I think that we do need in this country to value things that matter. And colleges are free in other places. It's not like we don't have other developed countries that make college free. In Finland, which is one of the top places in the world to live for happiness, it's expensive to live there. Why? Because they make sure you get health care and free college. But them motherfuckers is happy. Crime is low. Wages are high. They pay a little bit more, but they happy. Why can't we do that? In a lot of them Nordic countries, college free and they happy. So we need to figure out, why is college expensive here? We don't pay for it and everybody's fucking miserable. Let's figure that shit out. That's all I'm saying. And let me clear this up real quick. In the Nordic countries, they actually pay higher taxes. So their tax rate is like 50% or something like that. Like, the tax rate is really high. You know, I do want to clear that up.
I agree. I don't think you need to agree for like being a street riser. Like, why do a street riser? And half the time, they don't even really know the job.
Well, also, I think it has to do with the wealth gap too, which we're going to talk about in a minute, because there was an article that came out that says that the wealth gap is what, like, at 160 year. It hasn't been this bad in 160 years when you look at the races. And I think that that's another reason, because some of the people that are most impacted by student loan debt are black women and black people. Like, black women are the most highly educated subgroup of people in college, but they carry the most student loan debt. And I think it's because black people don't have any money. A lot of the times, white people's families have something to offer them. Not always, but they have something to offer them. Plus, they're more scholarship opportunities. People give them more information. They're more acclimated with what's going on because of the network of people. So I feel like they have more opportunities to gain wealth of knowledge, so to speak. So when you look at one of the reasons why student loans is the way that it is because of this article, black people
don't have any money. I remember reading a Black Enterprise article like 3 years ago, and they said by 2053, Black wealth will be at zero. When you look at this article, it seems like it's possible. And that is scary, especially when you think about how much money Black people spend. Like, we spend a lot of money. And that is, I think, part of the problem, too. Like, we are used to spending. We're not necessarily used to saving. And I think it's because things were always taken from us. Look at the Tulsa, what happened in Tulsa back in 1921 when Black Wall Street. And like, I think over time, Black people have learned that you can't trust the bank. You can't trust financial institutions. So the best way to have something is to keep up with the Joneses. And to keep up with the Joneses, you got to buy stuff. And so they just would, Black people would get money and spend it as soon as they got it. But we didn't, I feel like that's part of it. And then I think we also didn't get the knowledge that you have to be investing in a 401k. Like, you should be invested in the stock market. A lot of Black people don't even understand how the stock market works. So we are going into a direction where I think maybe we'll get there. But I mean, I don't know. So when you look at this article, it's in Bloomberg. And it was Black-White wealth gaps getting worse, 160 years of U.S. data show. And this is an article about equality. Now, this shows some of the most damning information. They were saying that a lot of the issues that happened, of course, they got exacerbated by the pandemic, but also the lack of reparations following the Civil War made this issue inevitable. Like, we were going to get here because there were programs within that 160 years that actually helped white people buy land and helped white people get into the suburbs and get out of the cities. Like, Black people didn't get any of that. So now when you look at them not being invested, or the fact that Black people owe more student loans and can't pay for college, and we looked at that as the great equalizer, and that's not what happened. Like, it ended up actually making it worse for some Black people, especially Black women. When you look at the article, here's what they're saying. They're saying that according to new data that details 160 years of racial wealth disparities for the first time, Black Americans in 2009 had 1/6 of the wealth of white Americans on a per capita basis. According to analysis in a paper this month from economist Elora Dernoncount. Okay, we're going to go with that. Chi Hyun Kim, Mortiz Kuhn, and Moritz Schulerich. We'll do that. Schulerich. Though it's a drastic improvement from the 60-to-1 ratio in 1860 on the eve of the Civil War, it's still less than they had in the 1980s. And they're saying that a recent role of capital gains in widening the racial wealth gap paints a sobering picture of the future of racial wealth convergence. And they're saying that in the absence of policy intervention or other forces leading to improvements in the relative wealth accumulating conditions of Black Americans, wealth convergence is not only a distant scenario, but an impossible one. And this, to me, makes total sense. And they're saying that there should be current wealth accumulating conditions continue for coming generations. They estimate the level of white to Black wealth could reach 8.4 by 2200 from around, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. So here's what they're estimating. They're saying that the levels of white to Black wealth could reach 8.4 by 2200 from around 5.6 in 2019. They're saying that in that year, Black wealth stood at $60,125.58 compared to $338,092.80 for non-Black households. And Black people just, they had very little of it in stock, while white Americans owned and publicly traded companies in much greater numbers. In the past 70 years, stocks have appreciated 5 times as much as housing prices. I don't know what to say about that.
A lot of people is struggling. Like you said, Black people made less money than whites. So, I mean, you getting a check, do you really want to pour, you know, even 6 or 5% of your check out going to a 401k that you can't touch or use? I mean, that actually depends on, I don't know how much somebody would make, but if it's like $100 or so come every week, that $100 can go somewhere else. A lot of people don't look in their future. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make it, I'm gonna hit it in 10, 20 years and stuff. And before you know it, 35 years old, you know what I mean? You gotta let this, you're not gonna be able to work forever. And you do want to retire. Truthfully, it comes down to the person. Some people care about their future. Some people say, I'm going to live my life. I saw investing when I probably was, I think I did it late, but I didn't saw sign up 401k until I was like 23. You can make more money doing investing is better than having like a saving account. It's not fast money, but it's consistent, you know what I mean?
In this article, it does talk about Black people not being invested in 401k or invested in the stock market, because in Brookings University or Brookings.edu, they also were talking about how that's one of the wealth building pillars that Black people just were out, like they just weren't in, like they're just not invested in the stock market. And they were saying that in their latest studies, people born in the 1940s through 1960s, they show a median white American in their 30s, back in, you know, the people that were born in that age bracket, made $29,000. White people made $29,000 more than Black people of the same age. And now they're saying that the wealth gap is even greater because money begots money. So now those same white Americans who are in their late 50s had $251,000 more wealth, or median wealth, than Black people. And a lot of this comes from the fact that Black people aren't in stocks. When they were looking at CNBC, they had reported that many Black Americans missed out on the hefty gains of the stock market due to low equity ownership. Black people just weren't invested. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact they didn't have any money. Like they said, only 34% of Black American households actually own equity investments, as compared to 61% of white households, according to the Federal Reserve Board. And that's the primary way Americans build wealth, is through investment. And one of the ways is through retirement. And a lot of those white people are able to pull that money out and they can use it if they need to. Like if their kids need to go to college, some of them pull it out of there. And they can actually live life in their later years instead of being destitute. It's a big gap. But I think it does go back to the fact that Black families never were able to build equity in their homes and build, because they talk about stock market here, but one of the things they don't talk about is the fact that even with Black home ownership, if it's in a Black neighborhood, they give you less. It was a Black family that is suing now because their house appraised for $300,000 less when they showed it than their white friend. This is what it is. There's so many different things, and the systems are so backwards that I think that Black people don't have the money. And then not only not having the money, I don't think we think outside the box. Like even when I saw Ryan Davis, he was talking about podcasts, and he was talking about what podcasts are talking about. All the podcasts talk about the same thing, in his relationship and sex. We don't talk about the things that white people talk about. We don't get invested. There are some great podcasts like Earn Your Leisure, and there's podcasts out there for Black people, but they're not quite as many. And Black people just are not interested. A lot of, especially the younger folks, are not interested in things that are of substance and value. And we've got to change the narrative, because although y'all may not know it, because we're not paying attention to it, we are behind. And I know you feel it. And we have to do something about it. How long are we going to give them the power to continue to do this? We have got to change it. And the first way to change it, we got to change the narrative. Like, we really be worried about all the things that don't matter. We care about the appearance. Like, you got on Balenciaga and Jordans and da-da-da-da. That doesn't matter. If you can see your wealth, that is a problem. Like, we need to figure out a way to make this stuff important to people. Now, it's already bad enough that people can't invest. You can't invest if you don't have no money. If you don't have money, you cannot invest. That's part of the problem. And if we actually start worrying about the things we need to worry about, we can start to fix and find solutions to that. But I think that we are still so caught up in the whirlwind of how we look, how we're perceived, and
all of this type of stuff and what's entertaining to us. Are you not entertained that we miss it? We missing a boat right now. We're missing the boat. And we don't even know that the boat is at the dock. Like, we didn't even know the boat was coming. I don't know how we fix it. I don't know.
I mean, some of that is like inherent. So, I mean, that made a bit different. If you ever had anybody in your family die and leave a house that is paid for or even close to paid for.
We don't have that. We just,
I mean, a lot of people really don't have that much money. It's people going day to day with their stuff.
Let's talk a little bit about your homie, your homeboy, former President Donald Trump. And they actually, Magistrate Bruce Reinhard actually did unseal parts of this affidavit. Of course, it's heavily redacted. I'm like, why did y'all even put this out? Like, it's like, we took this from Mar-a-Lago. Black. And this is why this is, I'm like, for real, this is what y'all doing? Like, I don't even know what was, okay. But it came out, and of course, you know, he had 184 classified top secret and national security information documents in Mar-a-Lago. They were unfoldered and unhoused. He was throwing these papers around like a five-year-old with their socks. Like, he had this everywhere. They think he might have been infiltrated by Chinese, Ukrainian, Russian, all these different people at Mar-a-Lago, and he just had these documents just anywhere. It was just scattered places. And it's crazy how no one really cared. And now Lindsey Graham, because the Republicans got real quiet for a minute after this information came out, and then Lindsey Graham decided to open his mouth, who he's also trying to stop from having to testify against the voter interference, you know, for the 2020 election. But he came and he went on Fox News and he said, if Donald Trump gets prosecuted, it's going to be riots in the streets. It's going to be riots of red pickup trucks and red hats and mayonnaise and all the things you see is going to be out. We're going to be smearing mayonnaise everywhere. It's going to be everywhere. And bronzer and all of that. We're going to get miracle whipping everything. You thought it was bad? We gonna miracle whip everything. What say you?
Nah, I didn't really get a chance to see, but I heard about some pieces on it. And, yeah, something like that. I mean, if that's true and he's selling information, he should be locked up like anybody else would. Leaking information or having people steal information that's not secure. Yeah, I think he should go to jail for it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Just y'all be quiet. Y'all are really quiet about this now that the information has come out. And he wanted this information to come out. So it's not like it wasn't what he wanted. Like, this is, he asked for this and it came out. So we'll see where this goes. It's not looking good. And I think that's why Lindsey Graham, it's like dog whistles, so to speak. Like, they start giving suggestions to people, and then if something happens, and then he'll go back and say, oh, that wasn't me. I don't know why people would riot. I think they know that it's getting closer and closer to something actually probably being prosecuted for what he did, because it's pretty hard to deny that he did something wrong. It just is. It just is. And, you know, who means serious business? Any white man named Jerome. I said Jerome in house. I said Jerome in house. Because when I heard that, I was like, his name is Jerome. I was expecting a black man. And then here comes this little white man in glasses. I said, Jerome Powell is white? I said, what? But Jerome, you know, any white guy said named Jerome, it means serious business. And he is trying to get this inflation down. Like, he said they working on it, okay? And the inflation rate did drop a bit. The economy did shrink. And that's what she said. It shrank twice in two quarters. So I don't know if we're in a recession technically. But they said they ain't finished yet. They said, hold my beer. the Treasury, the United States Treasury said, hold my beer. If you thought the housing market has slowed down, hold my beer. And they keep, and then a lot of people are upset because, of course, with construction work and construction jobs, that has impacted the construction industry. But at the same time, I'm like, why do y'all keep building all these buildings that's vacant? I don't know about where y'all live at, but where I'm living at, they just keep building all these buildings of vacant buildings. And I'm like, what is this? Like, why do y'all keep just building vacant office buildings and retail stores? Like, just be vacant. I'm not understanding that part. But do you feel it? The inflation going down? You feeling? Are you feeling? I think it went down like 0.5% in wholesale prices or something like that. Do you feel it?
Not really. Not with the food prices going. I feel like.
Wait a minute. They actually said chicken is now back at its pre-pandemic rate.
Yeah, that's just a chicken. What about everything else? But no, the prices, I mean, it's still high. And it's, I think gonna put people in a hole. I mean, people saying it, but they saying more people don't using credit cards more than ever before, because I feel people actually tap into their saving. Now they don't got nothing to save, and you know, next thing you do is credit cards get by. So I don't know how true is it. I don't think, I hadn't heard nobody saying that, oh, they comfortable or doing well right now.
Gas is down. I will say that gas has gone down significantly. Some food prices have gone down. So I guess we just have to wait and see what happens with it.
Gas is going down, but it's really not down. Like, it was like $80. But I mean, before all this stuff was going on, I was filling my tank up for like $30. So I mean, I'm still paying $50. So I mean, it's not down. At least it's not down for me.
It's down from where it was when y'all were talking about, we gonna be paying $7.89. But this happened in 2008 too, and gas never went back to where it was. I think this is just what it is.
It's still high.
I think this is just where we at. I don't think we're gonna ever go back completely to where we were. And moving on, let's go to Jersey, baby. I don't know the slang in Jersey, but Jersey, pump it up. And Joe Budden from Jersey, I think he from Jersey. But anyway, a teacher in Jersey has since been proven to be a rumor. She did come out on social media. I'll play a little bit of it, a clip of it.
Meaning the one that I am an actual teacher at. Some of those mothers are legit my biggest supporters. Like, biggest supporters. You understand me? I gotta say this again. The mothers from the
and say, hey, that ain't true. Like, I'm good. Where people were saying that the mothers wanted to get her fired. I feel like black men saw that this rumor, but nonetheless, the rumor was that teachers wanted to get her fired because she was too curvaceous, and there were moms in the school that wanted her to lose her job because she was too curvy, which you can't do. It is against the law. You cannot fire somebody because of the way that they look. Especially if she's doing her job. Like, I mean, I want to know, is she good at her job? Like, is she a good art teacher? Like, if she can do her job, why the hell do we care what she look like? You know what I mean? Like, as long as she can do her job. Now, I saw the pictures, you know, she definitely has a very tight set of clothes. Like, all of her clothes are very tight. But I will say that, as long as she's been a good teacher. Now, my concern is, who's taking these photos of the teacher? Is the teacher asking people to take the photos, or are the kids taking pictures of the teacher? I mean, what's going on? Do you think it's something, like, what are your thoughts about it? Do you think that the teachers, there are certain things that they shouldn't wear? Do you think that this is just complete outrage? What are your thoughts?
I wouldn't want to see a teacher come in school with, fitch something or something like that, or too short dress. But when I was looking at the picture, I mean, she had like four, her body was 40 covers. So, I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with it. It wasn't like it was not too short, or she was showing her, like, her body. It was like pants and a shirt.
It was a little tight. I mean, I don't even know how you would feel really comfortable in that outfit, but to each his own. I honestly think that it's probably a little bit of hate on the internet. Some people are probably a little jealous of it. And if the, because originally people were saying that the fathers were really liking the teachers and a lot of the mothers were jealous about it. I mean, it is what it is. If you can get the fathers engaged in their child's education, fuck it. Why not?
Have more teachers. I mean, like you said, she had full clothes on. Now, I did know when I was in school, I think Tisha was like, well, they wasn't allowed to wear like leggings and stuff like that. I think that's the only thing I remember in school.
Why do you remember that?
I remember a teacher talking about it before.
A teacher talked about she couldn't wear leggings to you?
No, not a teacher. It was they would talk. Teachers were talking, and I think they were saying like some people shouldn't be wearing certain things. And I think they were talking about one of the teachers.
Strange. But have you had a teacher you remember that was very, very attractive?
No, when I was in school, I had a lot of old teachers. Probably not.
I think teachers have gotten younger. Or maybe it's because I've gotten older. The teachers seem like they've gotten younger. Like, I went, you know, to the school and I'm looking at some of these teachers. I'm like, wow, y'all look really young. It just feels like they've gotten younger. I don't know. Maybe they've always been young, but we just were kids.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we actually would probably be an old teacher now in school. You know what I mean? So,
I think we are old, though. Like, I think we've had a realization that we are old. Like, when you need a drink of water in the middle of sex, you have gotten old. I think we've gotten to a point where we're old. I think, you know, when your back be hurting, when you stand up, we're old. I'm not a young chicken no more. So where do you put me? If I'm not old and I'm not young, then what am I?
I think you had that cross rule. Where you think you still young, but your body telling you old.
I just said I was old.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you still try to have that young. Maybe it might be like that old person trying to dress young, can't give up their past.
Are you saying that I dress young? I'm trying to be young? Are you saying I'm the old person in the club? Is that what you're saying?
No, not like you dress young, but like you still hold on to like, I can do this.
You act like I'm sitting here in a onesie or something like that. I mean, I do have a onesie, but I'm not sitting here in a onesie and wearing all the stuff the young people wear. Like, I'm so confused and insulted. I'm insulted. You're calling me old young, and I don't like it.
I mean, no. Oh, it's only as you.
This motherfucker is over here talking in riddles. Like, now that you talking in riddles, I don't know. I don't know that you said, but you only as old as you are in your mind. Like, I'm which one is it? I am confused. I need help. You help me to help you. Like, I don't know what you're saying right now. Do you know?
I mean, when you was a kid, you ever look like, what I'm going to be if I get turned 30? Like, you know, your dreams and stuff kind of cut off at 30. I think everybody had that moment. They thought they gonna be rich.
Are you drunk? Like, I'm not sure what's happening right now. I don't know what's happening. But yes, once you get a certain age, I think it's for me, when I was a kid, I used to play MASH all the time. I thought for sure I would be living in a mansion and had the best job and then 15 cars and kids by the time I was 25. Like, I really did when I was a kid. So you can't really imagine what 30 or 40 is like. I wish I could go back in time, though. I wish I could get in a DeLorean and go back in time and be like, hey, you, don't be doing that. Don't get involved in any of that. Well, speaking of which, don't go to school for the bachelor's in psychology unless you're going to finish. And I don't even think that's what you want. Like, stay in mass comm if you're going to stay in school. Like, just stay there. Stick it out. Do something. Like, I would have do that. I would have did that. But speaking of which, with DeLorean, did you see the new DeLorean? It's coming back. Back to the future style Marty McFly and this some bitch.
Nah, I can't do a Back to the Future.
They gonna go back to what, 1990?
That'd be hard. Yeah, they should go back to 1990.
years back.
Yes.
And they could be in the first of like 2050 or something.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's it. They should go back to the 90s. Maybe the 80s.
I'm gonna try a sop from somebody.
Wait a minute. Back to the Future came out in the 80s. So they should go back to the 80s. Definitely come up with another Back into the Future if they can get this car made. One of the cars is hard. The other one looks crazy as hell. It reminds me of the Tesla, which apparently you said is still coming out. It reminds me of that one car that just looks like metal. Like, it doesn't really look like a real car.
Yeah, that car actually probably came out like 5 years ago. But so I'm reading Elon Musk still taking orders for it. I mean, I don't know who actually put an order for a car that hadn't came out yet 5 years ago, but...
The same people that brought them big baller shoes, they the same people that signed up for that car.
Yeah, but that car cost like, I want to say it was like $300,000 or something they was selling them for.
I don't know, LeBron James still ain't got his big baller flip-flops.
That because LeBron sent his son off the team. Got him traded, that was happening.
I think he was supposed to get them shoes like 3 years ago. Like, I don't know.
I didn't see Nate Smith got his. He was showing off.
Oh, he finally got his. Oh, maybe he just don't like LeBron. I don't know.
I mean, it could be. I mean, you know, you mess with some, you mess with somebody's son, you know what I mean? You might be a little bit bowed on the list, you know what I mean?
Maybe LeBron should be in Back to the Future. You saw how it was, you know, that was some Oscar-worthy acting he did in Space Jam.
Look old enough to be somebody, maybe.
So we like almost the same age. Like, what are you talking about? LeBron is not too much older than us. He is older, but not too much older.
He just look older than me.
He is older than you.
I mean, you know, the hair.
But isn't your hair thin in the middle?
Gray hair and stuff.
You have gray hair. But I will not get the new DeLorean because I can't afford it. Because I'm almost 1,000% sure that car is going to be like $200,000. But the old DeLorean broke immediately. So hopefully they'll be able to fix the problems that the old DeLorean had. Plus, their owner was an absolute criminal crook, allegedly. Really do some research on that. It's bad. But nonetheless, they're coming back.
Back to the Future, right? And they could stop
Biff. They should stop Biff from becoming the president.
They should stop him becoming the president. That would be a great one. And then they could actually stop student loan from going up. You know what I mean? Before the party. That would be a good one right there.
I think we made a movie, Bennett. With that, you came all the way full circle to the student loans. I want to thank Father Joe for, you know, giving us the bread that we eat and the student loan debt forgiveness that we need in order to make sure that we can keep ordering Starbucks and Panera bread. And I want all of you out there to make sure you check out the student loan debt relief, because you actually have to apply for it, which is some bullshit.
Why you read the blueprint?
You gotta apply for it, and they claim it's not gonna be hard to do, but they don't know how they're gonna do that shit yet, and it opens in October. So this should be like the, what is that, when the American Healthcare Act, the exchange shut down.
That's always happened with the government. So I see if they got anything, their system going shut down. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually got a deadline. Like, oh, you got to have this done by April or something. And people are like, oh, yeah, it's going to come out. And then they're going to miss the deadline. So, I mean, y'all keep up on this.
Yeah, so make sure you go and apply for it, because if you don't, you're not going to get your student loans forgiven. It will not happen automatically, but you're right. That is exactly what the government does, because they don't want to fucking pay it. So if you don't apply for it, they're not going to give it to you. They're not going to knock on your door.
Too, so don't be surprised your taxes get taken out.
Just please stop. Stop. Your taxes get taken out regardless. Your taxes will be taken out, but make sure you go and you do that. And I want you guys to make sure you subscribe to Millennials Anonymous on all major podcasts and platforms. I need to do a better job of marketing. I suck at that. So if you want to market for me for free, you can also reach out to me. I would love that. I need to do a better job of marketing. But make sure you listen, reach out, do what you need to do, whatever, and be safe. And this has been another episode of Millennials Anonymous podcast. We will be back next week if I don't get canceled for this cover art. So we'll be back again next week. Bye.